B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Solak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Which is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's going to be exciting to be back. Obviously, we all wish to have fans at some point, hopefully sooner, at our arenas. I mean, they always make the games more exciting. But yeah, it's going to be nice to be back.
They let you down. 985 to Sports Hub. The Bruins play the Capitals today, and there will be no fans, as everyone knows. And Zdeno Chara will have to come back without his kick-ass montage.
That would have been a cool game to go to. Yep, would have been fun.
Have to wait for another day.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're efforting to get Billy Jaffe up on Zoom. But there was an article in The Athletic that Fleetwood Shinzawa had talking to some personnel people in the East and them saying that DeBrusk could be a trade candidate at 24 years old with his playoff experience and his skill set, his yet to be realized skill set, that he would be very attractive. But in dealing him, it would almost be like a Gary Templeton, Ozzie Smith kind of trade. And that you would have to get a similar player in return. That you, because I don't understand how you would get rid of that position on this team without bringing something in return that could play that position. And because secondary scoring is a huge issue with this team, unless you get a left shot defenseman. But that's not even as concerning to me. I wouldn't want to get this team's not in the business of getting rid of any secondary scoring.
No.
So
no.
That would be a concern of mine. Plus, who would delight us in the interviews that we forget about every week
if they were
to get rid of Jake DeBrusk?
I want to know, and we can ask Billy about this, what the hell is going on with Andre Kasha? Like, I know he was skating, but he's not with the team, but there's no timeline yesterday I heard of him coming back. What is happening? I don't even remember him ever playing with this team, and I know he's played like 20 games. Like, I don't remember anything about him while he's on the team.
Not even 20.
I mean, okay, but I mean, it's like, what's happening? And I know he's had like a history of some concussions, but I don't think that's what he's dealing with here, right? Because he got like a high stick. Like the last time he played was in January, and it was a high stick situation, and that didn't seem like it was a concussion deal. And then there was the whole deal with him returning back from COVID and everything. Everything's been odd with Andre Kasha since the moment they got him. So right. I just want to figure out where. Like what is the deal? Is there any kind of news?
Well, get ready for some breaking news because Billy Jaffe's on the line with us. Billy Jaffe, of course, from Nessen. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy Jaffe, hello. What is going on with Kasha?
Hello. Good morning. He got hit in the head area in the game second game against New Jersey. And he went up, and he was wobbly on the bench. So you would surmise it's concussion-related.
So you're saying he has a concussion?
I would surmise that.
100%. 100%.
Oh, shut up.
Billy Jaffe reports.
So, that's how I read it.
Kasha has a concussion.
It's a good. It's a shame that the video of the Zoom isn't going out over Twitch right now. You can see what I'm doing. Anyways, to you guys. Anyways, so Kasha, he is skating. Rich, to your point, oftentimes, though, the injured guys are not around the team, meaning they go in early, they do their rehab, their therapy, whatever, and then they go. Now, Bruce did say yesterday doesn't have any timeline, which, again, leads me to surmise that
100%.
It's, you know, a head injury. And then,
concussion.
Therefore,
he's never playing again.
you know, you don't know when it's coming, you know, when it's going to be able to clear it up and come back. But he has been, he's been kind of the, it's the unknown, you know, and he's had a couple of good games at the end of last year where he was on pucks, he was involved, but he hasn't been around enough to really get a good read on what he could or would be with this team, Rich. You're right about that.
Yeah, that sucks if it's a concussion issue, because before he came to the team, didn't he have like somewhat of a history? Yeah, like three concussions before he even came here, right?
Previous, he had some previous history of head injury, of concussion when he was with Anaheim. And it, you know, we showed it on the air the day that he got injured against New Jersey. He skated off the ice and looked actually okay when he sat on the bench. You could tell that his balance was off. And anybody who's been in that situation before, I think you understand there's maybe a moment where you're right, and then your body, you change the position of your body, the mind move, you know, your brain moves, and he leaned, he kind of slouched. And, let's hope he's all right. I mean, you see him, you know, people have seen him leaving practice, meaning driving out. So, you know, that's a good sign. But to play hockey and to have a functional everyday life are two different things. And so that's why Bruce is saying he doesn't have a timeline.
Well, that sucks. If that's the case, if this is like, because, I mean, as everybody knows, every concussion, you know, as they compound, they get exponentially worse. You know, the first one's obviously bad. You get a second one, it's really bad. And if this is his fourth, man, that's...
I don't know what number. I don't know what it would be for him. I hope, look, they don't tell us. I don't know. But by the body language of what happened and where he got hit, when he got hit, I think it was Miles Wood that caught him in the chin area. It looked like... and by the way, we all know you can get concussion from snapping your neck now, right? Yeah. You know, whiplash and stuff. But he got hit in the upper, the head area. That's why I say we can surmise that that's what it was. 100%. I hope I'm wrong, but we just, you know, it just seems like that.
So, Billy Jaffe reporting Kasha out for the year with the concussion. Write that down, ladies and gentlemen. He has not been seen at practice, Billy Jaffe says. Billy Jaffe, Fluto from the Athletic had a thing about Jake DeBrusk, and this team, he's on a bridge deal, but this team believes that he can. He's young, he's 24, but they believe he could. He's much more than he's been, and there is talk. One talent guy from the East said that they're better off trading him, but. If they did trade him, it almost like they'd have to get the same thing in return. You know, a young player a young goal scorer that's maybe not reached their potential, or
maybe not.
A left shot defenseman. I mean, but I'm not in the mind that they can get rid of secondary scoring, but maybe you could disagree. Do you agree with that assessment of DeBrusk? And if they did move him, what would you? What minus him on the team, how could they improve this team by trading him?
Well, you know, it's a crappy answer. What I mean, it depends what you get back for it. But if you're getting a left shot defenseman that can play in your, let's call it your second pair, and it's, I mean, which is a valuable commodity, but there are some out there available, then maybe you've improved your team. You know, look, he's got one goal in 14 games. He's had two or three games where you would say, that's Jake right there. Awesome puck tracker, hounding, feet moving, multiple shot attempts, not just from distance, but from interior, where he's playing within, you know, the house area, so to speak, around the net. That's the power game that you want to see from Jake. Have you seen it enough? No, not yet this year. And the problem is, you know, when you say, not you, but when people say, well, he's a slow starter, and he is traditionally, how many years can you say keep saying he's a slow starter and it's okay? I mean, do you know that he's going to put up 25 for you, or the equivalent of 25 in a shortened season? Right now, I don't know the pace that he's on. All I can tell you, it's one goal in 14 games, but the team has played more than that. But it's not a lot. His pace isn't 20 to 25 right now. So, but that's what you expect him, and that's what you need him to be. So if he's not going to be, and he's got to find another way to help your team. So do you improve it by adding a top four, a second pair left shot D? Well, I think this team needs to. I mean, look, they brought in Jared Tenorti, for depth. They're not looking into being a top four left shot D, but they know that they need to have that kind of depth given the injury to Lauzon and the potential. We don't know what's going on with Kevin Miller yet, but they might need that. Now, up front, can you get a guy who's a right shot? Now, remember, Fred, he's been – because he hasn't been able to produce the way that they need or wanted him to, they've had to play him now out of position, moving him over to the right side. They'd love for him to be on his left side. They'd love for that because that means that he'd be producing at the level that they need.
All right. So let's have some fun here because Fluto Shinzawa mentioned this. So I'm not just pulling this out of my ass. But I guess there's talks about the Sabres wanting to move Eichel and the Bruins potentially being someone who would come calling. As a matter of fact, according to Fluto, if he was available, the Bruins would definitely inquire about it, which I'm sure many teams would.
Yeah,
what do you think? What do you think the Bruins would have to give up to get Jack Eichel? What would they want? Give me a trade that you think would actually satisfy both sides.
It would involve two players playing and a first-round pick. And, you know, when I say two players playing, I'm not talking fourth liners. I'm talking, you know, it probably would be one of your top prospects, whether they're on the roster right now, one of your, whether it's a guy that's like a Stunica, like a Frederick, I mean, that are playing, and it would be, I mean, they would want one of your top players. I mean,
outside of like Pasternak and maybe McAvoy untouchable, or is it, or like who would be untouchable in that trade?
I mean, listen, I, you know, I'm not moving those two guys you mentioned, Marchand, Bergeron. I'm not moving those guys. Those are anchors. Those are the pillars of your team and of your culture. Buffalo, they have a new GM this year, fellas. I don't know if you realize that, Kevin Adams, first time GM, played in the league for a while, but I mean, he's going to ask for moon, stars, galaxy, everything, you know?
Billy, I don't mean to cut you off. Fluto threw this out there. He said it would take at least Charlie McAvoy and Trent Frederick. Let's say it's Charlie McAvoy, Trent Frederick, and a pick. Would you do that?
No.
For Jack Eichel.
Defense. Yeah, who's
no defense? Charlie McAvoy has elevated his game to elite D, number one D status right now. You don't get you pine for those guys. You absolutely, you know, yearn for those the way that I do when I'm at a all you can eat smorgasbord. You know, you pine for those guys.
You're like,
the word smorgasbord today. Interesting.
Well, right. Well, that's how I am with my
breaking
food.
News.
Okay.
No, you don't give up a guy that is capable of leading. You know, the Bruins have had an amazing history of number one defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're seeing the former come back tonight and the current in what Charlie's done now this year. You don't give up that guy. You just don't. You don't, because otherwise, if you can't get the puck to your forwards, forwards aren't nearly as useful as they are.
Yeah, see, I agree with you. I wouldn't make that deal in giving up McAvoy and Frederick for him, but that's what Fluto said that he believes would be the starting point, would be those two guys for Jack
Eichel. I'm telling you, Kevin Adams is going to ask for everything, because they have such a perception they have such a poor perception of that team right now in Buffalo. The fans are restless. The image is taken. Look, they haven't made the playoffs. It's like, what is it, 11 or 12 up there? Mm-hmm. It's a major need of a major culture change. And if you're trading your captain and you're getting rid of the guy that signed this mega $80 million deal up there and everything, they're going to ask for everything. They're going to ask for everything, Rich, to go back.
Yeah, and you saw what happened to Ottawa when they traded Chara. They were not exactly winning cup after cup after cup. Maybe it's not a good idea to get rid of your.
You don't get rid of your stud D. You don't. No.
Well, all right. Billy Jaffe reporting that Case is out with a concussion. Thank you for reporting that here for the first time. And
I am giving you the finger right now. I'm actually giving you two of them. Okay.
At least your reporting is better than your way of expressing yourself, because your reporting today was on point, breaking that news for us. Thank you.
You are such a jackass. Goodbye, guys. See you later.
Bye.
See you, Billy.
See you later, Billy. See ya.
You guys are friends, but there's always that little bit of Billy that you always seem to reach.
Because he gets so nervous yes. about everything. It's fantastic. Yes. I love how
that
nervous
was obvious.
He gets.
Yep.
He gets very nervous that everyone's going to get mad at him. So, like, he won't say, he just like, you know. Like, he knows he has a concussion. And he's just like, hey, you know what? And he like says it 5,000 times. So he's just funny.
Well, what's going to happen to him? I mean, are Dale and Raycroft going to assault him in the studio? Say, look, this is how we do things here.
Well, maybe.
Do you think that's what's going to happen?
Based on Dale's behavior with you, maybe that's a possibility.
That's a possibility.
He'll get a comeuppance from the Dale-inator when he decides that he's had enough. Dale lives very far from Brighton, doesn't he? And he's got two jobs in Brighton. That's
yes.
You got to move closer to Brighton. If both your jobs are right there, I'd say so. Especially when you're splitting the day. I mean, you got to figure he's going home during the day.
I don't even think he's in studio now.
Oh, with
the first one.
That's Entercom was just like, we're never having anyone come in again.
Yeah.
All right. We will be back. Everyone try to not reel on the news that Billy Jeffy just broke on the airwaves.
You know he's listening, too.
Oh, that's why I'm doing it. He gets so, just so funny. He gets so nervous that something bad's going to happen. Like, what's going to happen? Get out. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friend.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Seeing that on Friday, at the witching hour of the time to leave the house to go to work, it's going to be about negative wind chill factor in March.
Yeah, yesterday that sucked. Like yesterday, it was unbelievably cold, and our poor Dan. I think that with all the wind and everything, the power got knocked out at his place. So, I mean,
well,
I guess
he has a propane backup.
He had a propane backup, which is good, but I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, worst time to be out of power is, I'm sure many people in Texas could tell you, is when it's freezing cold like it has been the past couple of days.
Yeah, but that's why you got to have the big propane. You know, he puts those things in himself. He chips away at the asphalt, and then him and his brother bury the propane tank. They do it all.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's on the Scooby-Doo McGuire hobby show with Maserati. Whatever the podcast
that's what it's called. Scooby-Doo McGuire. You actually nailed it. He's just a guy that shows up. There's no person named Scooby-Doo or McGuire, yet they named it that. It's kind of like the
my
Don
first
Miller
morning
show
in Atlanta. The brilliantly named Don Miller morning show. That's what happens when you have people have 8-hour meetings 7 days a week for about 4 months before you announce a morning show. Let's not have anything be organic. Let's really drill down every little nuance of things.
Real quick, just to this point you were bringing up, you know, about it being cold and people being without any kind of heat. This, we played this earlier in the show, but this is pretty great. So Kendrick Perkins, you know, he is broadcasting that coffin that you see behind him when he does the little split screen thing on NBC Sports Boston. That's from his home in Texas. And the reason
I thought it was a Middle Eastern restaurant that he owned, but it's not. His home.
Well, okay. There's a reason you haven't seen that coffin, Fred, in a while. It's because he hasn't been home. His house was one of the ones that had the pipes burst during the whole freeze out that they had in Texas, and he tweeted out some photos, and man, it sucked. It looked like it was a bad spot, and they just seeped right through the ceiling. It ruined like a ton of his house and his furniture. So he has been in a hotel, as you can tell right here. So at the very end of last night's game, if you flipped it over to NBC Sports Boston, Perkins is on the right side of the screen, Abby Chin and Scala are on the other side, and you hear a little bit of clanking before this segment starts, and here's how it went.
Perk, everything okay at your house where you are?
Oh, I'm good.
All right.
I'm good. What's wrong?
No, I heard some banging. Big Perk out in Houston.
Hold on, Abby. Listen. I'm dealing with unique circumstances right now. I'm not in my house. I've been living in a hotel room for 2 weeks. I got four horrible children that's driving me crazy. Two of them, one of them is a set of twins that's 4 years old, by the way. I can't tell them to keep quiet enough. I mean, they literally are in another room slamming doors, yelling. I just don't know what else to do, Ab. I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Oh, that's just fantastic. just the hell of having to live in like a hotel room when you've got four kids who just are and trying to do like live television at the same time. I just like, it's like, dude, it's not going to get any better. You're going to hear the banging. I can't control these kids. I got 2 4-year-olds running around beating each other up. Sorry, you're going to have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least if they clog the toilet, he won't have to fix it himself. He'll have someone there to do it for him, because I can vouch. It's no fun when the toilet's clogged. That is what I've had to deal with.
Perkins has been a star, by the way. He's been really good. And he's somebody that I don't think you're probably going to see him on NBC Sports Boston next year, because I think he's going to get one of these table gigs. If ESPN was smart, they would scoop him up and, you know, put him at the, you know, how they used to have with Magic Johnson and all those guys. If you're going to do a new team, you've got to get Kendrick Perkins involved.
I don't know if you can. Here's the thing. Perkins is so huge. I don't know. You put him like courtside next to whatever, Breen or Mark Jackson or whatever. Not even that. At the table high above courtside.
Yeah, with Paul Pierce. Yeah.
I know. He's going to dwarf everyone who sits next to him. I mean, Pierce isn't a small guy either. Pierce is like 6'7", 6'8". Perk is outweighs him by at least 100 pounds and is about 4 inches taller.
You can fit Shaq in a seat. You can fit Kendrick Perkins in a seat.
Yeah, but that's a studio, and he's far apart from people. It's a little bit different, I think.
I mean, there's only so many jobs or ex-players that they can jam into ESPN, my lord.
They're using him more and more, though, and they're very wisely doing that. And he's, you know, as I said, it's rare that you get a player who comes on who is fresh out of the league and still has friends who are playing who can be honest and critical about these guys. A lot of them are scared to do it. And I like that Kendrick Perkins doesn't care. If the Celtics are bad, he'll crap on them. He even called out Scalabrine for not crapping on him while they were playing bad. He's like, and he loves Scal. That's his guy.
And if you're Scal, you're like, okay.
He's like, Scal, what are you looking at? The team sucks right now. and you know what? He's absolutely right. Kendrick Perkins has been a great find. And who would have thought? He was kind of quiet during his time, you know, on the Celtics, and then all of a sudden he's got this great attitude, good opinions. I like the guy, and I think he's got a bright future. Just hope somebody smart uses him, which of course means he's not long for NBC Sports Boston, I would think.
All right. We found out that J.J. Watt, when he was getting recruited from Arizona, that they used Frank Caliendo and some country fella to seduce him, and Blake Shelton. Blake Shelton is the fellow that's
Gwen
marrying
Stefani.
No Boobs McGee. Yeah, all right. Yeah, he's marrying Gwen Stefani. And ever since she took her braces off, I'll boo. When I interviewed her, she had braces. Do you think that's necessary to get J.J. Watt? I think that's something that it seems to me J.J. Watt gets a kick out of people giving him the time of day.
But I guess it worked. Yeah, it is necessary. If you, if like you said, he's somebody who just likes people saying, "Hey, you're great."
Yeah.
Then they got two people. And by the way, Blake Shelton, as much as we might dismiss him, he's a huge star. Like, this isn't Kelly Olynyk going to try to recruit Kevin Durant. He's like, Blake Shelton's a big star. He could play probably a stadium here if he wanted to.
All right.
Right now.
What was Buffalo's pitch? That's what I want to know. If you're Buffalo, and you're putting
together
biggest
star in the history of Buffalo, that they
got
would
the Gronkowski's
love you.
Not doing anything to show up, you know.
Jim Kelly gets on a plane. How does that work exactly?
I mean, you could bring in Jim Ferguson. You could, you know, all the old greats.
What great singers from Buffalo? The Goo Goo Dolls. Did they bring those guys in?
Rick James. You could, or Rick James is dead, of course. But if the Goo Goo Dolls are still alive, yeah, you could have them. Goo Goo Dolls are as big as Blake Shelton. Anyone could tell you, more people could tell you who the Goo Goo Dolls are than Blake Shelton. If you put people.
No, they can't.
Absolutely, they've had a bigger hit than Blake Shelton.
No, Blake Shelton's bigger.
The Goo Goo Dolls' big hit is a bigger hit than any hit Blake Shelton's ever had.
But Blake Shelton's also a TV star. He's gotten been on The Voice for
years.
What's
a Blake Shelton song?
I don't even know. But if you played it for me, I would know his voice. I actually would.
But you know, I don't want the world to leave me.
Yeah, but I also understand that I worked in that format, which
that sucks. But that's everywhere. That song is that song's a part of the fabric of life.
Okay, well, a bigger hit, I don't know. But Blake Shelton is definitely a bigger star than anyone from the Goo Goo Dolls. There's no
just
question.
Just because he's marrying Gwen Stefani.
He was a star before Gwen Stefani. He was a big country
Baloney.
Star.
Baloney.
Oh, yeah. Blake Shelton was a big country star before that. But Blake Shelton, if he played here, would easily sell out the TD Garden and quite possibly could be one of those guys that might be able to do, you know, the whole Gillette Country Fest deal.
Well, yeah.
Blake Shelton's
put him on a
star.
Fest.
What's that?
He's no Goo Goo Dolls, I'll tell you that.
You know what? That's what it would have been. If Buffalo would have made it wouldn't even have been Resnick. It would have been the other one, the guy that they hide in the background, the bass player.
Cousin It?
Cousin It. It would have been Cousin It from the Goo Goo Dolls. They would have rolled him out there, the Gronkowski, who nobody knows his first name, and maybe, I don't know, a guy with a big thing of Buffalo wings for. I don't know what they would roll out there. Who knows?
Let me see here. Blake Shelton.
It's done very well on the U.S. country charts.
Not crazy. Not as big as I thought it would be. Platinum, gold, two times platinum, gold, two times platinum, platinum, gold.
Yeah, but
gold.
This is in the. What is gold and platinum nowadays
I
when
don't
nobody
know.
Buys albums?
But these are going back to 2001, though. So when did streaming get the whole world going crazy.
Blake Shelton's got a song. It's got 168 million downloads. I don't even know if that's as big.
That's light snack nowadays. Give me Bobby Shimura. He's got 45 billion downloads.
In fairness, if I check that Goo Goo Doll song, I bet it's got more than 168 million. You're probably right about that.
I can't have you coming after the Googs.
Yeah. Iris by Goo Goo Dolls. I knew it would. It's got 696 million downloads. I mean,
that's
insane.
Not even half of what, because most people own it now. I mean, at least own it on every, I have it on vinyl, disc, CD, 8-track. I have it on that colored vinyl. I have one vinyl that's just a picture of Cousin It's face. It's the Halloween one.
Fred, I'm going to send you this picture of, I just looked up the Goo Goo Dolls on like Spotify, and the photo they have, I'm not joking when I say this, Johnny Resnick looks like he's wearing a Michael Myers mask from Halloween.
No,
like
they
his
had to
face
do something.
Has gotten, it's gotten so much work that it honestly looks, it's like white and flat like that. Like, he looks like it's Michael Myers. I'm texting it to you right now.
Kennedy broke his heart. That's who Iris is about. Is Kennedy
the VJ?
Yep. That's who Iris is about. They never made love.
Yeah.
Now conservative commentator. All right, let's see what's doing with this. While I look at this, Rich, what's going on in the stack? What are we going to talk about?
Well, the Super Bowl is about to get a major change when NFL players use fake names. And what is the best-selling menu item at your favorite fast food restaurant?
Wow, he does look like Michael Myers. He looks like that is a mannequin. I'll tell you what, the troll guy is looking all right now, comparatively. The troll guy, what happened to the third Goo Goo Doll?
I don't think there's ever been a third one. There was, but he was just, dude, he's a yeoman. Come on. What are you talking about?
He's just some workaday salaried guy. All right. He didn't have, sure. He's not like the, he doesn't put the finishing touches on it like the bassist. All right. We'll be back. We'll have all of that for you in the stack here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Want to make a good morning even better?
Oh!
Now, you can listen to Toucher and Rich on the radio.com app.
You are locked in to the show.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
You gotta stack it up. 98.5 Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Oh, Fred. So this is great because I finally got to see what you were talking about yesterday. There was a video that went viral of Zion Williamson when he was playing in high school. And if to describe him as being almost like Gulliver Travels-esque size, just a giant amongst tiny people, would be almost an understatement in this video. So
it went viral? I didn't even know it went viral. I just came across it on YouTube. That's funny.
It's phenomenal.
I went down a rabbit hole. But it's, and you got to be more descriptive. It's, there's stuff with him playing in AAU and whatever, but this is the state championship game in South Carolina, and it's ridiculous. I mean, it's, first of all, his team sucks. The other team sucks. The idea that it's the state championship game and these are the players playing in it, the level of basketball in South Carolina, not that great. But, I mean, oh, boy, does he dominate. It's
so
crazy.
So Zion gets into the game. So Zion's in the game. And is he already, like, is he almost, he's got to be like 6'9 at this time, maybe 6'10. He's just enormous. And I guess the team that Zion's team was playing was already getting blown out. It was near the end of the game. I think it's like a 30 points. And the other coach puts in this kid who's 5'5". And I mean, he is all, I mean, 100% like a kid. And he goes in there and he starts clapping his hands like, all right, boys, here we go. Here we go. I'm trying to get the team all pumped up. And he puts his hand into the side of Zion as if I'm about to start this play defending you. And Zion looks at him and starts laughing and then points at him and looks at his coaches like, you're really going to have this guy guard me? So he was shown this video. He did a Zoom with J.J. Redick. And J.J. Redick asked him about that moment. And here's Zion doing a play-by-play of this, like, 5'5 kid trying to defend him.
5'5", scrawny, white dude, sweet haircut, checks into the game to check you. He comes over to you. He's clapping. He bodies up to you. You give him this look. Like, why is this dude checking me? And then he fouls you. Do you know who that kid is?
His name is Bryson Bishop. Man, I'll never forget that. That was our rival. And it's like late third or either fourth quarter. We're up 30 at this point. So we come out of a timeout, and he starts walking over to me. I'm like, no way. You're not about to do this. And when he comes over and he starts, if you saw me, I look to the right. My principal is our track and field coach. I looked at those two, and I was like, are they serious? You know, he fouled me, but what people don't know is I got a lot of respect for him for doing that. His teammates were so out of it that he was just trying to give them energy. And, you know, for him to be the one to come over there and do that, I got nothing but respect for him for doing that. But when it was happening in the moment, I was like, no way. Don't disrespect me like that.
Good on that coach. He was probably so pissed that his team was getting destroyed. He's like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this kid down. I'm going to put Rudy at the end of the bench here. Obviously, the kid who probably didn't play much, but was like, come on, guys, let's go. Let's do it. And I'm going to sick him on Zion Williamson just to show you how to play with some sort of balls or passion. And this kid's like, come on. And he puts his hand right into the side of him. Zion just starts laughing like, come on, man.
A coach that has been outclassed. A coach that's been getting killed. And says, well, make a spectacle of this poor child.
Oh, and what's so funny is that, like, those kids that he's playing look so young, and it's probably, what, 3 years ago that happened?
Yeah, that kid's a senior now, right?
I mean, that sounds about right.
If he was a freshman when he checked in, you figure this is Zion's second year. So that kid's probably still in high school, a senior. Jesus.
So, I mean, this poor kid, he looked like he hadn't gone through puberty yet. He's checking Zion. He's like, all right, come on, stop. What are we doing here? Oh, man. Well, that video's fantastic. I'll tweet that out later on. It's definitely worth watching. So this is something that I just randomly saw. I think from the Globe tweeted this article out. But in 1983, Terry Bradshaw had to get some surgery done. So, you know, he lives in Louisiana, but he didn't want, like, people reporting the story or anything. So I'll read you the beginning of this article. Hiding behind an alias, Terry Bradshaw entered a North Louisiana hospital and underwent minor surgery for muscle tears in the elbow of his throwing arm. During his stay, Bradshaw made the rounds in the hospital to visit sick children and cheered them up. They said the four-time winning Super Bowl quarterback was admitted to the hospital under a fake name. Anybody want to know in 1983 what name he chose?
I actually know the answer to this. So Fred, okay.
Tom Brady. He checked under Tom Brady, obviously predicting the future, knowing what it was going to be in the hospital. So there you go. If you see somebody named Terry Bradshaw going to a hospital, just know that it's indeed Tom Brady that is going to be there. So I wanted to play this clip here. Ricky Williams, it's funny. He disappeared, and no one had really heard from him after he left the league. And I know that he basically left. And didn't he make a statement that it was because he wanted to smoke weed?
Yeah.
He loves marijuana.
Yeah. He loves weed. And I remember I hadn't heard from him for a while, and then all of a sudden, like in Facebook, an ad for Cameo came up, and Ricky Williams' face was there. So if you want to know where he is, he's doing cameos, and you can probably pay him, you know, $100 or whatever to say hello. But Ricky Williams came out of his hiding and did this interview where he talked about how he fell in love with weed and what was the situation. Here's Ricky.
Running for the Heisman, my girl for 2 years, okay? We broke up, and it's like right after we broke up, I went to her house to bring her stuff back, and your quarterback on the football team's car was parked.
Uh-oh. That's what started you smoking for real.
For real. That's how it started. And I was like obsessing about this. And my friend was like, dude, you got to chill. And so he just brought it out. He said, you got to hit this. And I did. And it was the first time where I was like, okay, I wasn't obsessing. I wasn't thinking about it. I could sleep and relax. And from that moment, I noticed, okay, this can be helpful to me. In the UCLA game, the starting quarterback was my homie. He hurt himself. The backup quarterback, who is still married, they're still married, and it's a happy story.
Okay, you can't be mad about that, Rick, because they got married.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But at the time, I didn't know that. Really? One time I lost my temper. One time I lost my temper in practice.
You fired on him, didn't you?
No, he caught like an audible or something wrong, and I just threw the ball at his helmet real hard from up close. But I lost my cool for that one moment.
So that's where Ricky has been, apparently. He's just been disappearing and smoking weed. How much money do you think he made in his lifetime playing football? Because, I mean, can he afford just to be basically a guy who wanders the earth and just smokes weed and that's all he does for the rest of his life?
Yeah, if you've made over $10 million and you're good with your money, you can probably live a pretty good lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And you don't live, like, lavishly. I wish I liked weed. Oh, boy, do I wish I liked weed. What was your takeaway, Rich? Because you had not been able to get high for a long time, and then you got high and didn't like it.
Yeah, I got blasted, Fred. I did it wrong. I did the, you know, the vape
the edibles. the vape pen, yeah. And you smoked too much and you got real paranoid, which has happened to me every time I smoke weed. So you're off it. You don't like it.
There's a weed shop right down the street from me, and I have some, and I've had it for months, and I just have no desire to smoke it, eat it. I wish I liked it.
I wish I could smoke every night and enjoy myself, but it makes me paranoid.
Well, there's other things that I know exactly how to gauge my comfort level. You know what I mean? It's like I know, there's certain I know you're not drinking anymore, Fred, but at least I know how much I can drink and feel fine and not weed, I have no gauge, like none. Right. I haven't done it enough to know whether or not I'm either not going to feel anything and it was a waste of my time, or I'm going to do something that makes me feel like I'm stapled to my chair and I can't move.
And that's the thing about alcohol, is that you're never gonna flip out. Like, it's never gonna make you like go nuts. Like, I mean, the worst thing that happens with alcohol is that you just like super hammered, and that's an enjoyable feeling, at least while it's happening.
Sure.
With weed, you smoke too much weed, or you smoke the wrong kind of weed that for your psyche, and it's like a 2-hour panic attack. It's no fun.
And I hate smoke, and I don't like the smell of it. So the only way I'll go is edibles, but edibles take too long to kick in.
And plus, that's impossible to gauge. Like, people will tell you that. I mean, even dudes that smoke tons of weed will tell you that edibles are – that's a guessing game right there. It is. That's a crapshoot.
And it just seems like too much work and too much experiment. If I would have gotten into it when I was like in college, fine. Then I probably would have liked it a little bit more now. But I haven't had an experience with weed yet where I was like, yeah, that was good. I'll do that again.
One time we bought a bunch of garbage weed in college and I smoked it, and it just made us hungry and stupid. But that weed doesn't exist anymore, because now it's all hydroponic and strains of this, and they've made it this with that. Yeah. Like, there's no just bad dirt weed anymore.
That was the
just
good old days.
Goofy and crappy, it was like a pleasant high. Now everything's going to take you into the stratosphere. I don't like it either.
Oh, I'm being told that Ricky Williams trusted a lady who took all of his money. And I guess that she also stole a bunch of money from Dennis Rodman as well, a woman who presented herself as a Harvard-educated financial advisor, was sentenced to 10 years in prison, apparently, because she'd taken a bunch of – I hate this stupid article, because then all of a sudden they ask you questions before you read it. Here it is. I hate when those ads come up. Answer these 8 questions, and then you can read the rest of the article. It says, rather than helping the athletes manage their money – Peggy Ann Fulford defrauded Ricky Williams, Dennis Rodman, and others out of millions of dollars to buy luxury vehicles, property, jewelry, and airline tickets. So she just, stole all their cash.
And by the way, Ricky Williams didn't make as much as you thought. It was under $25 million.
Yeah. Still a lot.
Yeah. My parents had that happen to them. My parents had a financial advisor that blew all through all their money by the time they were 40.
Oh, really?
Had to start over again. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks, man.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Did this person provide them with like the fake earnings reports and stuff? Because that's
they weren't defrauded. It was just this person was just terrible with money. It was like investing in supermarkets in Oklahoma and garbage like that, that everything just fell through, like llama farms or whatever the hell
they threw it all in Blockbuster.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, that song means that the show is done for today. I want to thank everyone for listening. Billy Lanny there, Jim Louth, working a double shift. He gets in at 5, and he's just like, I'm going to stick around till 5. I'm working a 12-hour day. I'm trying to prove myself in this piece. I want a job at the Riff, is what he's saying. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911.
go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.